Hello and welcome back to the Politics Unboxed podcast. My name is Reese, and today we're going to be talking about several of the major news stories that are going to be hitting our front pages and our papers over the next couple of days surrounding UK news. Obviously, today, as this is coming out, is the day of the Chesham and Amersham by-elections. So hopefully, I'll get a podcast up on the results of that for tomorrow, give or take, however, the counting goes, and maybe there'll be a shock twist. If you haven't heard that episode, go back and check it out. It's episode 12 of our Elections in the UK series here on the podcast. But today we're going to be talking about Matt Hancock and Dominic Cummings, because Dominic Cummings has released screenshots of WhatsApp messages from the Prime Minister, or allegedly from the Prime Minister, barracking the Health Secretary. We've also seen the situation in Northern Ireland getting closer and closer to breaking point, really, with the First and Deputy First Minister nominations expected soon, with talks continuing late into this evening, with Sinn Féin returning just before midnight to start negotiations up again. We are also going to see some other stories about COVID vaccinations and go through some of the the headlines on the newspapers. All this to come on today's episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. So yes, all that to come, but we're going to start with some potentially more worrisome news, because a new study from React One, who are, well, they are a group at Imperial College London. They're called the Real Time Assessment of Community Transmission, and it's a study or a series of studies using home testing kits to try and improve the understanding of how the pandemic is spreading across England. And it was actually conducted on and commissioned by the Department of Health and Social Care, being carried out by Imperial College London alongside Ipsos Mori to try and collate data from antigen swab testing and also lateral flow testing. Now, this study has said that there is another epidemic growing. We've seen rises and falls, peaks and troughs in recent days, weeks, months, and over the last year. But now it suggests that the COVID epidemic in England is growing. And much of this growth is being driven by younger age groups who haven't yet had their vaccines. Now, from the period 20th of May to the 7th of June, which is where this analysis is coming from specifically, we have seen that there has been a rise of about 0.5%. And it doesn't sound like much, but when you take into account just how many people that might be, then that is quite a rise, and that the R number amongst the average infected person is estimated at 1.44. So within those infected, there is going to be exponential growth. With those vaccinated, it is significantly lower. And also, quite worryingly, it says there is a strengthening link between cases and hospital admissions. And this is because, well, we're seeing as restrictions are easing up, obviously they're not easing up quite on the schedule the government wanted them to, but they are still easing up. We've seen people going out and engaging socially more, and that means that those people who are not immunised will have a harder time once their symptoms develop, because they don't have the protection, but they are still exposed to the same virus. It does affect younger people as well. We've been saying this from the beginning. It might do in smaller numbers than it would affect the more vulnerable, hence why we've gone through our vaccination rollout the way it has. But it still does affect younger people. There's no carte blanche to just go around as if COVID didn't exist. It does. It's been made painfully obvious to us over the last year or so. Now, the most cases were amongst the 5 to 12-year-olds who are not likely to get vaccinated at all, and 18 to 24-year-olds, so yay go my bracket. We always seem to get mentioned at some point here. However, there is some semblance of some tentative signs in daily data suggesting that growth of cases may be beginning too slow, with the rollout of jabs and vaccines to the younger population being key in reducing spread. This is according again to this Imperial College London research as part of the REACT-1 study. Now, Professor Paul Elliott, who is the director of the study, says that we can take quite a lot of comfort from the fact that when we look in the details, it does appear that there is very, very good protection in the older ages, where there is virtually everyone double vaccinated. The government has clearly announced that they want to vaccinate all adults in the period between now and the 19th of July. That will make a very big difference and increase the total amount of population immunity. Now, that is good. That is good. And there have been cases appearing to double every 10 days over the last week or so, but this week it's been slowing down to a doubling every 14 days. Now, that means the epidemic is growing, and it could be the sign of a flattening of cases, and that is good. However, there is the point that it could be a false dawn, as Nick Triggle, who is a health correspondent for the BBC, has written in a column I'm looking at right now, and it is speaking a lot of sense to me. And he says that the rise in infections has been largely driven by the Northwest. The top 20 local authority areas with the highest rates are all in that region. And infections could easily take off in other areas, speeding up the growth of the wave. Now, what this means is that whilst we are ploughing resources into Greater Manchester, Lancashire, all those areas with the higher rates of COVID, and bringing down their infection rates because of the stricter measures taken there and the faster rollout using the military to roll out home testing kits and vaccination plans, etc., etc., other areas that are getting less attention could still be suffering from a similar wave level in the epidemic and end up overtaking and swamping the work done, in Manchester, Greater Manchester and Lancashire. But if this slowing of growth holds off, it will be very positive. Now, it is early days, but the data is a little bit more encouraging than a week ago, but still somewhat worrying. Let's move on now to something that is definitely worrying, and that is alleged text messages received from, sent to the Health Science and Technology Committees by Dominic Cummins. That was again, probably the Prime Minister's former SPAD, or Special Political Advisor, sometimes referred to as a Senior Political Advisor. You can put all sorts of things for what that S might stand for if you are of a certain persuasion as well. And this is the latest round of gunshots in this internecine war of words between Dominic Cummings and Matt Hancock and Boris Johnson himself. Now, let's have a look. And these text messages do contain a number of expletives, and I will avoid them, but give you very good hints as to what they might be. So, what has Dominic Cummings said? Well, it's a 7,000-word blog post that he's put up, part of it in containing evidence that has been apparently submitted to the Science, Health and Technology Committees, and it contains a number of screenshots of different WhatsApp messages and texts, etc. Now, one such exchange says that it's a comparison from US to UK. So, in the US, has gone from 2,200 tests a fortnight ago, 27,000 a week ago, to 100,000 yesterday. This is what we said we should do. Instead, we are still stuck on about 5,000 to 7,000, and Matt Hancock, MH, saying today he's sceptical about getting to 10,000 on Monday, which he said would definitely happen on Tuesday, meaning tens of thousands of NHS staff aren't at work over the next critical 3 weeks. Apart from my earlier points, RE testing being integral to any escape plan. Boris Johnson replies, it's not an eloquent response from Boris Johnson, but it does use one of his favourite words, totally effing hopeless. This in relation to Matt Hancock. He's also said on PPE, there's another screenshot where Boris Johnson says, on PPE, it's a disaster. I can't think of anything except taking Hancock off and putting Gove on. Although Dominic Cummings comes back and says, well, this is not quite what would be happening, given the mess at the Cabinet Office, where Michael Gove currently is and was at the time of those messages. Now, this is part of this battle between Hancock and Cummings, and up to now, the sources at Downing Street and the spokespeople there have been backing Hancock up to the hilt. They've been denying allegations, they've been denying things left, right and centre. They haven't denied the authenticity of these messages. Now, this could be one of two plays. Either shut up about him and he won't get any more airtime, or we've got something in our back pocket and we'll pull it out later. It could also be at the third play, which is they're genuinely real and people are fed up with lying. The PM's spokesman did say that Boris Johnson has full confidence in the Health Secretary, but not saying that the messages themselves are not real. Interestingly enough, there are some quite, creative editings going on of how people are screenshotting different sets of text messages. I sounded quite old there, calling them whatchamacalls. But on some, you see Dominic Cummings, where he's submitted them on his blog as evidence, cutting off bits before, where then they're referenced later in the text. What's he trying to hide there? If he wants to be out and open, surely he can be out and open about all things that were said, if he really wants to do this. And also then on several news sites, I'm seeing on the BBC Now, I'm looking at text that seems slightly different to what I've seen on the website. Not in terms of the substantive content of any of them being changed, but just of the trimming off of some of the top and bottom lines that relate to different scenario. But that's just my personal opinion. That's obviously an editorial choice. They want to make the story sound the way they want to make it sound, and therefore, here we are. Another thing coming at Matt Hancock recently, on the Peston show, ITV's political editor Robert Peston saying, he was in an interview with Dawn Butler, who was the former mental health minister, I believe. Oh, she could still be the mental health minister, actually. Saying Hancock says there wasn't a PPE shortage. Either he's lying or he is ignorant of the fact that there was one. And that says a lot about the attacks that are going on against the health secretary. Also, when talking about this in the Commons, John Ashworth, who is Labour's shadow health secretary, has said that the Prime Minister has now given Matt Hancock his nickname, his final nickname, perhaps a fitting nickname, saying that he has now given him the nickname of Hopeless Hancock, and I wonder if that will stick. But there was a win for Matt Hancock and the government today, with MPs voting in favour of a four-week delay to the lockdown restrictions, with regulations staying in place until the 19th of July, in a vote of 461-60. Now, this comes after a fairly large Tory rebellion against the move, but also the Labour Party falling in line with the Tories and voting for it. They said they did so with a heavy heart. It's interesting to see what will happen there, especially as 51 Conservative MPs voted against the government, with some former ministers, such as Mark Harper, who was a minister and now chairs the CRG, the COVID Recovery Group, and Sir Desmond Swain, who was a PPS to David Cameron, said that the response to rising cases from ministers was disproportionate and a threat to civil liberties. Now, even some of the members of Parliament who voted for the measures said that they're doing so reluctantly, with Andrea Leadsom. Crikey, I haven't heard that name in quite a while. It feels rather weird to say Andrea Leadsom again. Said she will reluctantly back the government in the vote, urging ministers to show flexibility and possibly lift the restrictions after 2 weeks rather than four. And one thing she did say is something that's ringing rather loud in my ear, saying that school and university students are now faced for the second year in a row with no end-of-year celebrations. And I know, boo-hoo, we don't get an end-of-year party. But when you've been told for the last 18 years that these are going to be the best years of your life, it is rather grating watching them slip away and work starts to rise up on the horizon. I know, I'm crying over the smallest sorts of things, but they don't seem small when you're living in them. To move on from that particular thing and to go to some of the headlines, I'm just going to scramble my way through a couple of these headlines. We'll start with the Daily Mirror, which just leads with the big picture of Matt Hancock saying, hopeless. Saying 15 months and 128,000 deaths after the PM's damning verdict on his health secretary, how come he's still in a job? And many people will ask that question. However, he does seem to have the safest job in the cabinet right now, perhaps even safer than Boris Johnson, because Dominic Cummings wants him out. And that means that Boris Johnson is going to have to spend time defending him and keeping him in post, because otherwise Dominic Cummings gets a victory. The Prime Minister does not want to sack Matt Hancock right now. The Metro led with Nuclear Dom. Cummings unleashes PM's WhatsApp messages. Boris Brown's his health secretary. Effing hopeless. Nuclear Dom, quite a good one there as a headline. The Guardian leads with Cummings text shows PM calling health secretary totally hopeless. Very factual there, although not quite the same word that was used, although in a later text message he does say this is totally hopeless when referring to Matt Hancock again. So, a rather, well, sort of edited for censorship version from The Guardian there. Daily Express doesn't really follow the same lines as other papers. They say, sorry Dom, we've got bigger fish to fry. Now, this comes as the battle rages on to defeat variant XA, reveals PM's private messages declaring Hancock hopeless, and Boris will step down after the next election. Those and other claims given by Dominic Cummings. The Express going to back Johnson and Hancock to the hilt, really saying that we need to focus on the Delta variant, things like that, rather than internal squabbling about leadership and roles. And there are many who will be of the same opinion. The Times says that hopeless Hancock is to be cleared in a lying row, and this is claiming that the health secretary is set to be exonerated over claims he lied to the Prime Minister. This coming from the Internal Standards Committee at the Commons. We've only got a couple more headlines to go through. Daily Star, we think we've got this right. Hopeless bloke said hopeless bloke is hopeless, said hopeless bloke. And a picture of Hancock, Cummings and Johnson all dressed up as Coco the Clown. That just sums up the real apathy of the situation. People who see each of them as hopeless will just see this as the blind pointing at the blind and calling them blind without knowing for a fact that they are blind, but everyone else who has sight can see they are blind. But I think hopeless bloke says hopeless bloke is hopeless said hopeless bloke is quite a good headline. Telegraph says return of the holidays if you are vaccinated, saying that countries are planning to open up and avoid having quarantine if they've had COVID jabs. The Mail says shock plans to work from home forever. I mean, is that a shock? I think some people have quite liked. I think some people have quite liked the idea of working from home more often. It gives them more flexibility, less of a commute. Maybe not forever, maybe not every day of the week, but certainly more often. I don't think that would be too much of a shock. The I says that vaccine hubs in schools if children are offered jabs, but there is a big debate on that, and I'll go over that in a different episode. And those are all of the ones that are on my radar for the moment. But that is pretty much all the time we have for today. I was hoping to hang on to this podcast long enough to give you an announcement on Northern Irish Deputy and First and Deputy First Minister nominations, but as I sit here recording this, I am feeling quite tired and I haven't seen any news broadcasts or any updates about how the Stormont executive is going to be nominating those roles. However, as I say that, now here we are. A statement from MacDonald, Mary Lou MacDonald, who is the president of Sinn Féin in all of Ireland, has said that, on the basis of what has been agreed, I am happy to confirm that Sinn Féin will nominate Michelle O'Neill as Deputy First Minister and will participate fully in the five-party executive. And this has not been commented on by the DUP, but the what has been agreed is in relation to an Irish language act. Sinn Féin saying they would not join an executive without an Irish language act. We now expect the DUP, if indeed it is agreed upon, to move to nominate, I can't remember his name, Paul Given, I believe is his name, for First Minister of Northern Ireland. However, there is no guarantee from Edwin Poots, who is the leader of the Northern Irish Democratic Unionist Party, but not going to be First Minister, saying he intends to support the Irish language legislation, but not necessarily before the next Assembly election. And this is, well, this is going to be feisty stuff, is all I have to say. Keep an eye on it, and I will try and keep an eye on it for you as well. Anyway, that is all we have time for today on the Politics Unboxed podcast. I want to thank you very much for listening. If you have enjoyed today's episode, please do give us a rating wherever you find these podcasts. Any feedback is more than appreciated. If you'd like to get in touch, you can get in touch through our Instagram, which is at politics.unboxed. Our Facebook, you can search for Politics Unboxed. And on Twitter, it is at politicsu, and that is the letter U. You can get in touch via email, which is politics.unboxed@outlook.com, or follow the links on our website, which is www.politicsunboxedpodcast.wordpress.com, where you can find all things Politics Unboxed, that's podcasts and blogs, including the one I put out a couple of days ago on the lifting of coronavirus restrictions being delayed. So go give that a read and post your thoughts in the comments below. As ever, thank you so much for listening. I hope to see you all around again soon for the next episode of the podcast. And until then, goodbye.